I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 830-WCCO. Joining me now, as we do each and every day at 10:35, is Mike Padden, a defense attorney who answers all questions about the Chauvin trial. And as we continue to go through, we have new questions every day. Mike, good to see you. A little bit more, if you're watching us on video, more of a casual look for you.
How you doing, Mike? Thanks for having me.
Let me just start right now. I'm thinking about if somebody calls me to testify. I've never been called to testify in my life. And yesterday we saw with Genevieve Hansen, her testimony continued today, and she was admonished by the judge. Okay, so you start asking a witness questions. What are they allowed to give you? Only facts? Can they give you opinion, impressions? What are they allowed?
Well, the bottom line is they're supposed to answer only the question asked. And sometimes witnesses, especially in cross-examination, Mike, will have a tendency to go beyond what's asked, and that's not permitted. So, you know, she did a little bit of that, but I think overall she was a really powerful witness, in my opinion.
And is it your responsibility as the opposing attorney to object anytime they leave those boundaries, or should the judge be in charge of that?
Well, first of all, when you prep the witness, you have to make it clear to them that the way that questions are asked are different in direct examination versus cross-examination, and that there's a tendency for the defense attorney perhaps to be a little more aggressive with the witness on cross-examination. And she certainly, I think it's fair to say, got her dander up a little bit. But what will happen is if the witness does go beyond the question asked, then the defense attorney has to make the objection to the judge, and then the judge will instruct the jury not to consider what the witness, the answer the witness gave beyond what was asked. And then at some point, the judge might say to the witness, you know, maybe admonish is too tough of a term, but just remind them that they're only to answer the question asked and not go beyond that. Well, when the judge admonished her yesterday, I thought it was nice of him to not do it in the presence of the jury. And so his admonishment might have been a little more aggressive, Mike. But you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't in the presence of the jury. It's kind of water off a duck's back, really. You know.
Now, if you're bringing your roster of people that are going to testify, you know, this is fascinating to me as we watch this, and you're lining it up. How do you try to build the sequence? Meaning, do you want some people that are real fact-based early at some point in time, or do you try to move, you know, we need some sizzle here. We need somebody that's going to really appeal to the emotions of the jury. And do you stagger those people so that there's not too much emotion in one day versus just fact? How do you go about that as an attorney, and what do you look for?
Yeah, order of witnesses is an important concept, Mike. But sometimes the exact order you want can kind of get jammed up because of the availability of people and stuff like that. But yeah, I think you want to have a fair mix. But in general, in a case like this, you really want to get all the factual evidence in before you start calling experts. I mean, you don't have to do that, but that's the normal MO for prosecutors, is to get all the facts in and then call the expert. And I think that they're probably going to do something along those lines in this case. It seems like that. I think their order of witnesses so far has been really well done.
Do you ever, when you're interviewing potential witnesses, does anybody ever strike you as you go, you know, their information is just okay, but I think they're really going to play well to the jury because of the way they say it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think Mr. Williams was that kind of a witness. I think he was really superb. And then the woman who testified yesterday, she testified this morning too. She was just finishing up. I think her last name was Hansen. She's
Genevieve Hansen. Yep.
Boy, she was just solid, man. but both of them, and then the young lady who did the video that's been seen around the world by presumably millions of people, I thought she was great. You know, I got to be honest with you, Mike. I mean, the way things are going right now, you know, you're a sports guy like me and Corey. If this was a football game, it's 28-0 in the first quarter. It's not going well for the defense.
So is that a case of them having to get the ball in their corner? You know, I've seen some of these trials where you go, oh, my God, this is cut and dry. And then all of a sudden the defense starts running people out there and you go, oh, wait, I didn't realize that. I mean, is that just the nature of a trial because of the sequence of events?
Well, it can be, Mike. But like I told Corey a couple of days ago, the opening statement by attorney Blackwell was so good that, I mean, that was really – that opening statement was so good, I kind of feel like the defense is going to be treading water all throughout the case. And, Mike, I try to look at these cases objectively. I don't have a horse in the race here. I mean, I know I'm a civil rights lawyer and I've been involved in litigation with MPD, but, you know, I'm calling it like I see it. And I just think the way – I mean, it's almost like I think the defense would be better off with these what I call at-scene witnesses not asking any questions. I mean, the video speaks for itself. And, I mean, there seems to be this theory that it was kind of an angry mob and somehow that's relevant to the conduct of the defendant. But I really don't see that as a – I don't see where he's going with that. I really don't see that as a viable theory, especially in light of the fact that the cam from Chicago Avenue, you can clearly see – at one point when Tao, who was running cover for Chauvin, walks toward the bystanders on the sidewalk, they clearly cower and move away, you know, and then his body cam shows the same thing. I don't know if the body, what's interesting is on Court TV, which I watch periodically, they're showing some video that hasn't gone into evidence yet. So, you know, I should make that clear to the listeners, but I don't know, Mike, Nelson really has his hands full here, you know.
You try, it looked to me, and again, what do I know about this? I've never been in the courtroom except to observe in my life. Do you try to show the video as many times as you can? Because it looked like I was seeing, every time I looked up, it was a different angle, different version of. Is that part of your strategy as the state is, we know how powerful the video is. How many times can we show it and impress upon the jury?
Well, you don't want to overdo it. I mean, I don't know how many times you want to show it, but with each witness, it seems like there's different video to a certain extent. In fact, there's a witness, I think it was on the stand now when it came on air, who was in Cup Foods. And, you know, that's important because they want to show the alleged victim, Mr. Floyd, in the store, you know, behaving normally. And I think that's the purpose of why the state's presenting that evidence. I think the young man who was testifying, Mike, is a young man who accepted the alleged $20 counterfeit bill. But you're going to be able to play the video enough times. I mean, I don't think you want to engage in overkill, though. I mean, they even played most of it in the video. When I say the video, the main video taken by the young lady who testified, yet I don't want to say her name, even though her name's out there a million times. But I don't feel real. The 17-year-old, you know, the video that's been seen all. Jerry Blackwell played that in his opening, Mike, I think almost the whole way through. And.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times and to be frank, these jurors probably saw it before they were even chosen as jurors. So it kind of speaks for itself.
Now, there was a juror that left apparently this morning because they were sick or some ill effects. How does that change the trial?
Well, that's kind of scary. Was that person sent home, Mike?
I don't know. All I know is they were removed because I haven't been able to watch it because we've been doing this, but I just got a text on it.
Well, then what will happen is one of the alternates will now take the place of a juror that will be a deliberating juror. So now we're down to, if that's the case, then we would be down to only one alternate. That's kind of scary to lose one this quickly.
Because automatically then do they fill in for the rest of the trial once they step in?
Yes. And then the last person chosen is typically considered the alternate. So here the juror number 13 would now become juror number 12 and would be a deliberating juror.
If we get to a point here, as you said, where Nelson feels like there's no question there's going to be a conviction of something, the question, does he get to a point where he says, how can I mitigate? How can I bring it down? How can I at least try to temper this? Do you have to feel for that as you go that, hey, I'm not playing to win anymore. I'm playing to just get a couple of first downs, to use a sports analogy?
Yeah. Well, I think his main thrust, Mike, is cause of death. I think that's really what he's really concentrating on. I mean, certainly he's going to fight the notion that his client is guilty of third degree murder. He's going to claim that the conduct was not criminal based, I think, on expert testimony. That's a tough go. Here's the thing, Mike. This is where you can make a mistake. And look, I don't know Eric Nelson. I think he's a good lawyer. His partner's a guy I know well, I think he's a good lawyer. But sometimes, look, to err is human. Okay. Yesterday he made a big mistake, and what it was I even told Corey, and you can check the recording. I said when this 17-year-old testifies, I literally would walk up to the podium, look her in the eye and say, thank you for coming, Ms. Jones. I don't have any questions for you. Thank you. That's what I would have done. Well, he didn't do that. He asked some questions. And what happened was he brought up an issue of how this situation has affected her. Now, let's look at this. This is a 17-year-old who stumbles across a situation through no fault of her own. And I happen to have Diamond Reynolds is a client of mine, Mike, so I know about what it's like to videotape something and for it to go worldwide. And she tapes this thing. The next thing she knows, this video that she took and posted on Facebook, I believe it was, goes worldwide. I mean, can you imagine the pressure on her?
Almost overnight, by the way, not just, yeah. It didn't trickle out.
And here's a young woman who you know is probably a bundle of emotion. And you know, your goal as a defense attorney is get her on and out of that courtroom as quickly as humanly possible, right? Well, unfortunately, he asked how this incident affected her and whatnot, which opened the door for Blackwell. Of course, Blackwell on redirect jumped all over that like a lion on raw meat. And when he asked her that, it was the most poignant time of the whole trial where she says, crying, and literally these are real tears, about how she wishes she could have done something different to save this man. And then she said, you know what? It wasn't me, it was him, meaning Chauvin. Now, every time court TV has a break, that's the highlight of the trial they show. And last night, on it, I guarantee on all the news stations, national and local, that's going to be the highlight. That never happens, Mike, had the defense attorney not engaged in a cross-examination and opened the door. So in retrospect, sometimes, you know that saying, discretion's a better part of valor. I mean, it was just a monumental error. And little things like that make a big difference in cases, Mike. Big, big, big. So
you get to the end of this and you say to yourself, if you're a juror, and I don't mean to get too far ahead of ourselves, there's a lot left of this trial, but if you say, boy, it does look like he had a lot of drugs in his system that contributed to it, and it does look like putting pressure on his neck heightened it and certainly contributed to it. Now are you down to what percentage of cause of death? What are you down to at that point if you think both are factors?
Fair question, Mike. The standard is substantial contributing cause. That's the standard, and Blackwell made that clear in his opening statement. The other thing Blackwell pointed, and by the way, Blackwell's coming out to be some team. This guy's really solid. I mean, he handled the testimony of the 17-year-old, did a great job, and I think he's probably going to give the closing argument. Gabe, he's a hell of a lawyer. Anyways, but what Blackwell's saying statement, he came right out and admitted that the guy had a drug problem. Very, admit your weaknesses, right? And then he said, worse the effect of, okay, so this guy never had an overdose his entire life. He's going to have an overdose at the same time that a police officer is putting body weight, and then he goes unconscious after 4 minutes and 45 seconds. That's a great argument. The state's ready for that. They have specific evidence that they're going to get from experts that I think are going to approve unequivocally that this man's death was caused from asphyxiation. And I think they're going to probably uphold that promise. But again, Mike, I think their theory is believe your eyes. That's their working theory. And that video, as a layperson, if you're watching that video and you see an officer put a knee on a man's neck, he says 27 times he can't, goes unconscious. You don't need to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that one out.
So if you're the three other police officers that are on site and you're watching this, what are you watching for knowing your trial's coming up?
Well, you're definitely watching closely. That's attorneys are. you know, their whole goal, they have to divorce themselves from Chauvin's conduct. And the two young lawyers have a perfectly valid built-in, the two young officers have a perfectly valid built-in defense. Mike, they'd only been on the force for 3 years. So they're going to have an expert testify about field dynamics. And I think what you'll hear from those experts is that a newbie like that, and I don't mean that in a negative way, is in a position where they're going to listen to the 18-year veteran. If they don't listen to the trouble. So now Tal's a different story. I don't know. I don't really know how that'll be handled. But look, Mike, I've been on record, and I want to be transparent about this. I have said publicly that I don't believe the two new officers who literally had only been on the force for 3 years were charged, frankly.
And I think a lot of people share that sentiment. It's going to be interesting to see how the public separates what they believe and what merits a riot is. I think a lot of us are sitting here going, Mike, we're going, okay, even if Chauvin's guilty, what's it going to take for them to burn buildings down versus be satisfied with?
Yeah, no, I know, Mike. I think if Chauvin's convicted of one of the murder counts or both of the murder counts, I think it's reasonable to assume there won't be civil unrest. This isn't Mike. That's kind of a separate issue as to whether this man can get a fair trial. But the way things are going now, every witness that goes on that stand, it's a further nail in the coffin. Eric Nelson has an almost impossible task. This is a case where the evidence is. See, most of the time when you try cases, Mike, there's ambiguity as to what happened. You know, like the Yanez case, there was some ambiguity there. Here, Mike, you know exactly what happened. Multiple video, you got still images, you got audio. Everybody knows exactly what happened. So then the question then, of course, is, well, okay, so what does that mean? You don't have ambiguity here, Mike. It's there's clarity as to what happened. So then it's just a matter of the lawyers making arguments. I don't think cause of death is going to be a difficult hurdle for the state, okay. But I mean, that remains to be seen.
Mike, we'll pick it up tomorrow, and by Friday, I'll get your final four picks, all right?
Sorry to be so wordy, Mike. I was kind of
blabbing
today, wasn't it?
Appreciate it. I look forward to doing it again tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.